be the day you want it. What a blessing. Amen. Wonderful. My, what a good job on it, and what a good message to sing about. Amen. Well, I kind of go along with what I want to say. I sometimes want to say something I never get said. And sometimes I say some things I wish I had not said. You've probably never been there, have you? I think about the young preacher, and I think I've been there. Been a lot of years ago. That was riding home with his wife after he'd preached a sermon in a church they'd visited. And he said, "Honey, how'd the sermon go?" She said, "Well, it wasn't too good." He said, "First place, you read it. In the second place, you didn't read it very well. In the third place, it just wasn't worth reading to start with." So sometimes, you best preachers, if you're out there, don't ask your wife too much. I quit asking my wife about my sermon when her critique of it got to be longer than the sermon. Or something like that. All right, Old Testament, you're going to have to bear with me, going to have to use your Bible, and I hope you'll stay with me. I probably bit off more than I should on a Sunday morning here. 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. We're going to take a story. I can't read all the verses. Hope you've read it recently. If you haven't, maybe you'll go home and read it sometime. I'm not naive. I know you won't. But it'd do you good if you did. Talk to you a little bit this morning on the unholy war. In the news, we've been hearing some of the fellows finally getting bold enough to even say, "Are we in a holy war?" Well, I want to say to you, we are in an unholy war. Unholy war. You hear those kind of questions, and really it's a misnomer. To have a holy war, both sides would have to be holy. See? Both sides would have to be right. That's not the kind of war we're in. We're in a war where a side is very, very wrong and very, very unholy, if you please. I want us to look at the story, and I want you to just stick with me now. 2 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to take most of my points from that chapter. Chapter 19, begin with me in verse 14. "And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it," the letter now, "before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which I've sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods," little g now, "gods, into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." Now in the text and in the story, what you have here is a confrontation of the gods. You have a contest, as it were, a war, if you please, of the gods. Now, get the big picture. Hezekiah here is the king of Judah. He's up in the city, the walled city of Jerusalem. Gathered all out there are the Assyrians, greatly outnumbering them, coming up to take the city like they've taken other cities on the way there. And as Hezekiah encourages his people to trust in the Lord God, you have the messengers of Syria, of King Sennacherib, saying, "Our God is the real one. Yours isn't. Yours cannot deliver. Yours cannot outdo ours. And so it's a contest of the gods. If you were to turn over with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles is sort of the, Brother Boys, it's sort of the Federal Register of the Congress. When you get in the Chronicles, it's oftentimes repeats what you've already read in 1 and 2 Kings. But it's an official record, government record, so to speak. So over in the Chronicles, chapter 32, I'm reading about the same story. And Hezekiah now has told them that the Lord God, the L-O-R-D capital, you'll see it in verse 11, our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria. Verse 12, here's the message now. Sennacherib is given, hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places? He's saying, the Lord you think's protecting you, you've already torn down his altars. He's saying, the Lord you think is with Israel is really our God, and you've already torn down his altars, the false idol altars. And so he's confronting here the king of Judah as to which God is the right God. And so that is kind of the setting. Now today, as we look around, we're seeing very much the same thing. We're seeing as Islam advances across the globe that they are flying their banner of their God and their God only, and it is a put down of America, and we're infidels. We do not believe in their God as they do, and their prophet and so forth. You know what's happening though, and this blows your mind, don't it? You see it on the news all the time, where young people in America and in England and other are going over to join ISIS, going over to join the jihad, so to speak. And we ask ourselves the questions, how can it be? Listen, man is made to worship God. He's either going to get the true one, the right one, or the devil's going to give him a false one. And our kids today being raised in America have a void in their very souls. That void is in the schoolhouse where God is outlawed. In society where you can't mention the name of God hardly without getting in trouble. And worse than that, there's a void in the very homes they're raised in. And they would say, well, I heard in the news this week, little girls going over to join ISIS. They're missing something. They're missing something in the parents. They're missing something in the home. They're missing something in the schoolhouse. And yes, in many places, the church house. And that's too bad. They're mixed up on who's the right God. There's a void there. Somebody said, Brother Boys was talking about the atheists in there this morning in Sunday school so correctly. But I want to say to you, even the atheist has to believe in something. Because there's a void in there. God made us in it. And if you don't believe in the right God, you're going to have a substitute. Something else is going to come along. And the sad story is, I look here, I see such a parallel in this story that pictures where we are today. In the world, in America, and yes, in our homes and churches. I'm going to look at the story a bit here. I'm going to have a good time making some comparisons, so try to stay with me. To begin with, I look at King Hezekiah here. He was a good king. He was one of the best you read about in the Bible. God put some praise on him. What did he do? Well, to begin with, he cleaned up some things. If you back up just a little bit, I got you in chapter 19. Look at chapter 18, and let's pick out two or three verses right to begin with here. It tells in verse 18 what King Hezekiah did. He came to the throne when he was 25 years old. He comes to a nation that's in trouble, a nation that's beginning to worship the false gods and to turn their back on the true Lord God, Jehovah. He comes in and he cleans up things. Look at it in 18, verse 3. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David, his father, did. He removed the high places. That's the false worship. Break the images and cut down the groves. That's all the false worship area. And break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Now you say, what's wrong with that? They had come to the place that they were worshiping the brass, the brazen serpent, and it was wrong. And here we have Hezekiah come in, and he's cleaning all this up. He's stopping the burning of incense and so forth here. And he gets rid of some things. By the way, do you know anybody that would take over in our country today? They'd have to clean up some things, wouldn't they? You think about it. That's what Hezekiah was doing here. And Hezekiah was a good king. He loved the Lord, and he loved his nation. He was king of Judah. Remember? A lot of the news this week was because a lot of folks got upset because Rudy Giuliani, the ex-mayor of New York, come out and called it like it was. Help yourself. He come out and said, I believe that the president loves America, and everybody jumped on him. All he was doing was telling you that you can judge a tree by the fruit it bears. You see, you tell where love is real by the acts it causes, the acts that are performed. I've had some fellows say, well, you know, I love my wife. I said, not treating her like you do, you don't. Well, the way you act, my friend, counts a lot. Well, I love my wife, but I don't pay the rent, I don't pay the grocery bill and all that stuff. Listen to me real good. You don't love her, my friend. You just said it with your lips. And I'm on the ex-mayor's side about what he said. Amen. I do believe, brother, you got to judge something by the way it acts. I look around today and I see the fact that we can't even be correct to say Islamic terrorism. We can't name what it is. It's an amazing, amazing thing. You had all those 21 Christians, Egyptians, get their heads cut off, all in the news. And you have that happen, and the president can't even get up and say they were Christians. He said they were Egyptian citizens. I did like what Franklin Graham had to say. Did anybody hear it? I like what he said. He said, look, he went to the Islam schools, Muslim schools. He wasn't raised like we're raised, and he's given Islam a pass. Now, that's not very popular, but that's what's happening, folks. And don't be mixed up. There's a contest of the gods going on. There is an unholy war going against the holy God of heaven himself. That's what's involved in this thing. And I look at that and I see that. And I like what Graham said there. He told those Muslims that chopped the heads off. He said, what you done was evil. And the only way you're going to get forgiveness is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now hear me good. That's the only God. That's the only way to God is through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was absolutely correct. I look right here and I see that Hezekiah was a good king. He did the right things. He cleaned things out. He loved. He had a genuine love that produced fruit. And I look here and see, though, that Hezekiah had to face the same terrorism tactics that we're seeing used in the world today. You know what? This crowd comes up around the walls. This big army of Assyrians out there. They send their messengers to talk there to the Jews. And the leaders of the Jews said, we understand the Syrian language. Speak to us in it. But no, they spoke in the Jewish language. Why? They intended to terrorize the common man. You know, these acts that we see, the videos played on TV, the head chopping and all, the burning of the pilot and all, that's to terrorize the common people. That's to scare. I got news for you. They have misjudged real America. They have looked and heard from political America. They have looked and heard from the liberal America, but they hadn't heard from most of us yet. And I'm going to tell you, very true and very real, we're not intimidated. You're not scaring us, you bunch of terrorists out there. The truth of the matter is, you hadn't got to us yet, but when you do, you're going to wish you had not got there. Amen. I get sick and tired of this namby-pamby spaghetti spine stuff that I keep hearing on the news all the time. They're going to cut down finally to where they hit the bone. And brother, we're going to be there when the time comes. Amen. Hezekiah faced this terror stuff. It was a terrorizing tactic. They were speaking, look what we done to the other cities. Look how we killed them. Their gods couldn't deliver them. But Hezekiah said here, their gods wasn't gods anyway. Just wait till you get to the real one. Just wait till you finally get down where the tire meets the road, brother. It's going to be a little bit different than what you've run into before. Amen. Hezekiah here faced it. You know what's true in America today? we're looking around today and seeing, well, they had a Muslim lead prayer in Congress not long ago. Thank God for the congressman that got up and walked out. All of them should have. And the one that put him up there was the one that ought to have been dealt with. A number of years ago, after 9/11, I was dealing somehow with our county commissioners, and thank God most of them have been conservative for the last number of years. But I was there, and one of them said to me, you know, it's this pluralism talk. Everybody, you know, we got to all come together. No, you don't mix good and evil, right and wrong. A false God and a true God does not mix. One of the commissioners said to me, he said, you know, they have different ones, preachers or others, come open in prayer. And he said to me, I've got a Muslim cleric coming. What do you think of that? I said, well, do you like your job? That's what I said to him. Well, yes, I said, you bring him in here, I'm going to do everything I can to take that job from you. He didn't come. Now, I want to say this very true. We cannot turn our back on the Lord God Jehovah for the false God of Islam out there that's doing all the damage that you see in the world. Brother Boys back there has a book on his table called Islam, the Trojan Horse. You ought to get that book. It's a Trojan horse in America right now that's working on our very society and our very lifestyle and our very valuable values that we ought to be raising our kids on. Amen. I may have to amen myself some this morning. Listen, truth of the matter is, here they gathered around the city and they blasphemed the God of the Jews. All going on in America today is in this same name, pluralism. And we got to just mix everybody together. No, things that are equal are not the same, my friend. Things that are different are not the same, I'm trying to say. And there's a difference in Allah, the moon god, and the Lord God Jehovah of America. Amen. Anyway, Hezekiah faced the same terror tactics. Heard a preacher say recently, many of you might know this, but Saudi Arabia has given enough money to two of our major universities to fund a so-called Muslim chair. Now, you understand what that is. It means that you can have a department teaching Islam, and students could go get credit for taking the classes. And so the big bucks come in to fund a Muslim chair teaching about Islam in two of our universities, already been set up. And a preacher asked one of the Saudi Arabian fellows, leaders, and that's where the money came from. By the way, all the hijackers came from Saudi Arabia also, just remember that. Yeah. But anyway, he asked him, said, all right, if they're going to fund a chair teaching Islam, how about us going to Saudi Arabia and setting up a chair in your university to teach Christianity? He said, no, it never happened. See, there's not even a church, not a Christian church in Saudi Arabia. If you get caught with the Bible in public in Saudi Arabia, you are in trouble. Even when our boys went over to free Kuwait, they had to hide their New Testaments. That's sick, folks. And we're going to bring them into America to teach our kids Islam. This preacher said that I faced one of those Saudi Arabia officials, and we was talking on this subject. And he said, I asked him, said, okay, we couldn't put a chair over there to teach Christianity in your university. So let me ask you a question, a hypothetical question. If your daughter, and he knew he had a daughter, if she converted to Christ, what would you do with her? He said he looked me in the face and didn't bat an eye and said I'd kill her. You get that, folks? I've had folks sitting on these pews that have been killed in honor killings because they converted to Christianity. I'm talking about something you need to face up, real. And that's exactly what we are dealing with. You can't put those two gods together. You can't have this so-called politically correct pluralism that's going on in America today. You know, sad truth is, that's what they're pushing from Washington, D.C. right on down. It's an unholy war going on against Christians. That's what it is. There's an unholy war going on by so much of our government today against Christianity in America. Not just in the schools, but they don't want Christ in the public square. They don't want anybody to hear about him. And we see all that increasing all the time, even to the place now, and you've seen it in the news, it was in the Ledger this week. One example was the lady was a florist. And when the two queers came to her, that's what they call themselves. How come I can't call them that? They came to get flowers for their wedding. She didn't want to sell them to them because she knows what God says about it. It's an abomination according to the Bible. So they sued her, and a liberal judge has ruled against her, and she's having to go in bankruptcy. They're going to sue her for all she's got. It's in the Ledger yesterday, and I've been following it a little bit. There was a fellow that had the bakery. He didn't want to bake him a wedding cake. Same thing. You see, what I'm saying is there's a war against Christianity. There's a war against the real God in our nation that was founded upon that God. And if we're in trouble today, our fear is not just Islam. It's God letting them come in judgment when we turn our back upon him. Amen. You know, it's an unholy war. Unholy war I'm talking to you about right now. You know, cleanse society of Christianity. I want you to notice something, though. Hezekiah took this problem to the real God. See it in chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes. Now, that was a sign of humility, tearing his clothes, sign of repentance. He rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth. And he went into the house of the Lord. He knew where the answer had to come from. America needs to remember where the answer's got to come from. They say that in 43, when the Nazis marched into Paris, France, a famous nation for turning their back on God, a famous nation for producing atheism. But the reporters that morning, on a Sunday morning, said as the Nazis walked in early that morning that he saw more people leaving their houses and going to church than he'd ever seen before. Too bad they waited that long. America better watch out. You can't wait too long. But I look right here and I see Hezekiah went to the house of God. He went to the prophet Isaiah. You read it in verse 2 there. He went to get the answer from the real God. That's what he did. And Isaiah gave him a quick answer. It looked like they were about to attack. Now listen, you can't read it and look at me and listen at the same time. Come on back up here with me. Go home and read it afterwards. Amen. Isaiah, I'm going to condense it for you. Isaiah said, don't worry about it right now. God said he's going to send they're going to hear a rumor and they're going to go back home. And they did. But when they got back home, Sennacherib, the evil king here, sent a letter, message back. And that brings us to the text that I read where Isaiah gave the answer. And the letter come to Hezekiah, and he spread it before the Lord, and he prayed to God about it. And so here is what Hezekiah did for the answer. He took it to the real God. He knew who the real God was. And Isaiah the prophet, of course, getting the message from God. Now, he got his answer back. Look at it in verse 20. Got your Bible still open? Now I'm asking you to look at it. Verse 20. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Boy, what a blessed three words. I have heard. Hezekiah here is about to get his answer. And this is the word the Lord hath spoken. Verse 21, I'm moving down for time's sake. Move on down with me to where God gives the answer back. Look at it in verse 27. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and what's the next word? And thy rage, R-A-G-E, rage against me. Let me ask you something. Do you think God don't know what's going on in the world? Do you think he don't know about the head chopping the burning, the evil, the raping, the stealing, the selling the females into slavery, all of that. Don't you think God knows about that? Well, he's telling this old Sennacherib here, I know about your rage against me. I know about what's going on. If you were to read the setting in Chronicles, you'd find out God was letting Hezekiah, his good king, over Judah, be tested to see how he'd react. If America's being tested, we better hurry up and get our grades up, because we're not doing good. And the answer is what Hezekiah found, and that's to turn to the Lord God Jehovah, to go into his house, to go to his preachers, to his prophets, and pray to God for an answer. Amen? Amen. Well, that's what Hezekiah did here. He took it to the Lord. He got an answer from the Lord. He got that answer here in verse 20. I'm so glad that God sees and hears what the enemy is doing. You know, in World War II, prayer was a big part of it. Amen. It was a big part of it with the folks holding the home front. We used to sing little songs. I remember as a kid coming in on a wing in a prayer. Ever hear that one? Something about pass the ammunition and we'll all go free. Remember those songs? We were looking to God. Even old foul mouth George Patton, that was such a great warrior, it is on record that he prayed to God to help him. They tell the story about he needed to battle the next morning, but it was snowing and the weather, and they couldn't get the planes to have the air coverage, and he had a prayer that night, went to the chaplain, and they prayed, and the next morning was pretty and clear, and the planes got in. Say, big coincidence, uh-huh. All kind of stories like that. Even in the Desert Storm War, General Schwarzkopf recorded some times that they had a prayer and had an answer the next day on it. There is a God in heaven that we can honor with our prayers and honor by taking it to him and standing against that is evil. Oh, listen, Hezekiah took it to the right God. He knew who the Lord God was, and God gave him an answer. He said, I know about them. I know about their rage against me. And in verse 28, he says, I'm going to put my hook in thy nose, talking to the enemy, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. You know, God got involved. Now, the question comes today, is God going to get involved again? I wonder, are we asking him to get involved? I wonder, are we calling on him? I wonder if we have, and I believe we do have a number of folks in Washington, D.C. that know God, but they seem like they're timid to stand up for him anymore. And we're letting all this foolishness go on up there. Cutting slack is a nice word for what's going on for us, Islam. We're pacifying them. We're coddling them. And it gets right down to it, you're going to find out much of our tax money is financing a whole pile of that movement over there also. We need to turn to the God that knows it all, sees it all, and has all power to deal with it. Amen? Amen. Hezekiah took it to his God. Well, what happened? Oh, I like what happened. Stay in your chapter 19. Turn with me over to verse 35. In chapter 19, verse 35. Well, let's just back up to verse 34. Here's God's answer again. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake. His name had been blasphemed. And for my servant David's sake, promises to Israel. Verse 35. And it came to pass that night. Now here's the setting. Get it again. Here's this massive Syrian army. Hezekiah knows he doesn't have enough men. He knows he doesn't have the big weapons. He knows he can't defeat them, humanly speaking. He's taking it to God. So look at it in verse 35. It came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out. The angel, one. One, maybe it's the angel of the Lord. Theophany, I'm not going to get into that, but it says the angel, not a legion. The angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000 folks. I like this statement. and when they arose early in the morning. In other words, when they awoke early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. That kind of entices me just a little bit. How about waking up to find you dead? Amen. Listen, when God got involved, there's no lack of power. It didn't matter how many there were. One angel, I'll just go down and take care of them. Don't even need to get a legion of angels, just one. Maybe it was the angel of the Lord, I guess it was, but anyway, there's the point. He took care of it. He took care of it. And I really like what happened here. Notice it now. Behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went out and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his God. Now we're finding out which is the most powerful God. He leaves 85,000 dead corpses on the field. He goes back and he goes in his so-called house to worship his false God. I don't know, I'd have sort of lost some confidence in him by then. I'm not sure I'd have felt too good about that. But he goes into worship and something bad happens to him. If you keep reading there, you'll find out his two sons came in and murdered him before his false God, in his false God's house, murdered the fella. Would you think he made a bad choice, that he chose the wrong God? I think he did. I certainly did. Look at it and see this. He's a loser. He challenged the true God, the Lord God Jehovah. And above all of what we're seeing today, it is a challenge to America's God. It is a challenge to the Lord God Jehovah. It is a challenge to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Islam will say, well, the Quran mentions Jesus many times. Yes, all trying to steal his deity. Take away from the fact that he's the Son of God. Take away from the fact he was crucified for our sins. Take away the fact that he rose again for our justification. It's an attack on Jesus. Don't believe that baloney. Just causes they say, well, it says more about Jesus. Yeah, negative. But he is the God. God incarnate in the flesh. He is the way, not one of many ways, but the only way to the Father. He's the only way a man can be saved, and that is by trusting Christ. I want to say to you, what's the big picture? The big picture is this. Satan above has got all this going on, and if you're here unsaved today, let me tell you, it's all about you. So what do you mean? It's all about you because he wants your soul. He wants to keep you lost. Do you know America has been used of God like no other nation to get the word of God out, to reach more souls across this land? Is it any wonder the devil would like to bring us down and seems to be doing so? But I don't believe my God has yet taken hold. He's letting it build. He's giving rope. But he's not asleep. He knows it all. He's still in charge. Amen. Say, how you know, preacher? I know what he said about it. I flip over to the New Testament, second epistle, to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. Listen to it. Listen to it. And to you who are troubled, I guess I'd say we're troubled today by what we see. Here's a message to us. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he's going to take a hand in his time. He's going to take a hand. He is. He might be waiting to be invited by the majority of Americans today. I don't know. But he is not deaf and he is not asleep. He is still on the throne, and that same angel that took care of the Assyrians is still available today. He can still do the job, amen? I hope you understand our hope's not in Washington or who we might get to replace the commander in chief. I say that regrettably. We do need a commander in chief, but our real commander in chief is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we better look to him. He's our answer, folks. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want you to understand the devil is making his last fling to keep you lost forever. And if he could move his false army with his false God across America and stifle the gospel forever and get rid of the word of God, he would do it, but he's not going to win. Jesus is coming back, as he said, in a flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God. That's what I just read you. Now I ask you today, whose side are you on? Poor mixed up kids going over to join the jihad. Don't be mixed up like that. Sennacherib picked the wrong God and died at the wrong God's altar. I'm so glad the true God that Hezekiah picked is still available for you to pick today, for you to choose today. If you're here and you're unsaved, I want to say to you, time is getting shorter. God's patience is wearing out. His long suffering will not last forever, and the time of receiving Christ could come to a close for you that have not ever received him as Savior. This morning, the war is about your soul. And it's an unholy war of the devil to try to keep you lost. Today you can leave that seat and come down the aisle and receive Christ. Get born again. Get on the winning side. Know the Lord Jesus. And know if you died today, the price for your soul's already been paid. Your sin's already been taken care of. And your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I challenge you today to do that. Might be God's asking you to do something else. Come for rededication. Maybe you've never been properly baptized. Maybe you need to move a church membership. I don't know. But whatever he's asking you to do.